guys, it's finally here. Halloween, the best day of the whole entire year. And if you don't agree, then get the fuck off my channel, seriously. No, I'm just kidding. So obviously this week I've been doing my Halloween Eek Week series. I was doing all these extra movie reviews, movies that really like just screamed Halloween to me. And also ones old and new that I hadn't got around to doing and that were long overdue. Now this one, I had to do this one on actual Halloween because this might be, I don't know if I want to say this, but as far as like family friendly type movies go, this might be like the most Halloween-y of all Halloween movies. I'm not talking about horror movies and stuff like that because this is definitely not a horror movie, even though it has some dark elements to it. But this movie, it had like kind of a fascinating production history, which I'll get into in a minute. And actually, I didn't even really know about it like when I first saw it back in the 90s. But this is, of course, the family-friendly Halloween classic Hocus Pocus from 1993. Now, interestingly, this is a Disney movie. And because we've done, let's see, we did Something Wicked This Way Comes, which was from kind of the dark Disney era where they were making very dark family fare in the 1980s, which, like I said, at the time didn't do all that well, but then later on got kind of a cult following. We've also talked about not Disney, but also the movie, the Jim Henson movie, The Witches, based on the Roald Dahl thing, which again, aimed at children, but super, super dark. This one has some aspects of that too. It has some dark elements to it, but this one is just a lot more fun, a lot more silly. It's not really supposed to be taken as scary. It doesn't really have that many scary elements in it, although when you kind of describe what happens in the plot to somebody that hasn't seen it, it does kind of sound darker than it is. But because the tone of it is so over the top comedic that it gets away with it. So like I said, we're talking dark Disney, but it's not nearly as dark as some of the stuff that came out earlier. And like I said, not nearly as dark as The Witches from 1990, which was straight up terrifying. This one is just kind of more silly, campy, fun, aimed at probably younger children. Although honestly, let's see, this came out in 1993. And I feel like I saw this in the theater because this came out right around, well, no, this came out like before Nightmare Before Christmas, but I was kind of like seeing a lot of movies in the theater at this time. I might've seen it like at a second run, like at a dollar theater, because I was doing that a lot too because I was broke dick at that time. But so I feel like I did see this in the theater, and even though it's aimed at younger kids, it's still like fun enough for adults to enjoy as well. And like I said, it's one that always kind of like puts me in the Halloween mood because it's a very, very, very Halloween movie. It takes place on Halloween. There's trick-or-treating in it. There's a big Halloween party. You know, there's witches and black cats, and it's just really just fun, you know what I mean? Now, I have seen, it's weird because, I don't know, I saw it when it came out, and then, like, I've seen it a few times subsequently, and I'm always like, oh, it's like a fun Halloween movie. It's not one that I watch every year. I know some people do. But I was aware that in the past few years, specifically, as millennials have gotten older and had their own children and things like that, this has really become, I would call it a cult phenomenon. They've done like musicals of it. They have around Halloween at Disney World and Disneyland, I think. They have a Hocus Pocus themed show, like Villain Spectacular or something like that. Spirit Halloween has like a big line of Hocus Pocus themed products that you can buy, which are all really cool. So I kind of felt like, yeah, there's this massive of like cult phenomenon around it. Although a lot of people, it's interesting because when I was researching this show and I was kind of interested because I knew about, you know, the cultural impact that this movie has had, particularly among kids who grew up in the 90s, I didn't realize there was also kind of like this other contingent of people that really, really hated it and just thought it was so, like, they didn't really get like why everyone's super into it, because they're like, this movie is just so over the top and so loud and so annoying and like not funny and all this other kind of stuff. I kind of fall somewhere in the middle. This is a movie that you have to approach, you know, it's Halloween, you have some kids or you have it on in the background, like at a party. It's kind of just like a feel good type of movie. It's, you know, it is very over the top. It is very campy. So the tone of it is just more of kind of like a silly, Halloween kind of romp, I guess, rather than it being anything like The Witches, which is kind of a little bit more intense, or actually a lot more intense. So this one, if you go into it with that mindset of it just being like a wacky, kids movie essentially, and this one is very much aimed at younger kids, even though, like I said, some of the subject matter is a little bit dark when you talk about it, but it is very, very much a kids movie, and a lot of the humor is kid friendly. Although when I was rewatching this, I hadn't seen it for several years. When I was rewatching this yesterday, I was surprised how much sexual innuendo was in there that I guess I didn't. I mean, I'm sure I caught it like the first time because I think I was, gosh, how old would I have been? I think I was 21 or 22 when this came out. Like I said, I'm pretty sure I saw it in the theater. So I would have understood the sexual references, obviously, but I didn't really remember that much about it. I remember the whole thing about the kid being a virgin and everything. See, there's another thing with when I was talking about Monster Squad, where there was that whole thing about, I'm talking about a 5-year-old girl being a virgin. This one, a little less problematic, but they still are, because they're talking about a boy and he's like a teenager, like in high school, but still a little weird that they're like making fun of him for being a virgin. I'm like, dude, he's like 15. It's like, I know that that's a thing, like in high school, like making fun of kids that, but it's just a little weird. So, and it's a little weird to have like your little sister picking on you about it too. I was just kind of like, okay. But so one thing that I did not realize, there's a lot of things I didn't realize about this movie, because like I said, I was just been aware of this movie like ever since I was in my 20s, because it was just always kind of in the background, and people would show it like every Halloween. And I think even now Freeform, which I think is owned by Disney, I think it used to be ABC Family, and every October they show this movie like pretty much on an endless loop. It's almost kind of like, you know how around Christmas Story, like around Christmas, like some channels will show A Christmas Story, like just over and over, they'll show it for like 24 hours. I kind of feel like that sort of cultural saturation has happened with Hocus Pocus. So when I went back to research, like, when this first came out, I was actually quite shocked to discover that when this came out in the theater, it was pretty much a total bomb. Now, there are probably a lot of factors for that. Probably the main factor, I feel like, was that Disney released it in July, for fuck's sake. I know why they did it, because Nightmare Before Christmas was, which was also Disney, was coming out in October, and they didn't want the two movies to cannibalize one another, to compete with one another. So they just kind of, and maybe they didn't have a lot of faith in Hocus Pocus, when they made it. So it's just kind of like they just dumped it like in July, and it obviously didn't do all that well. I think the first week that it premiered, it came in fourth. It was after, I think, some other shit had come out that week, like In the Line of Fire, that's a great movie too, and a couple other ones. And I think it even came out behind Jurassic Park, which had already been out for like more than a month at that point. So, and you can understand why. It's like nobody, I mean, if you're not me, nobody wants to go in the middle of hot ass summer in July and see a very, very Halloweeny Halloween movie. It just doesn't, like I said, I would, but apparently most people wouldn't do that. So it made money, but it didn't make its production budget back. So it was kind of considered a flop, and it got really scathingly bad reviews, like at the time. Siskel and Ebert, most famously, they hated it, and they were just kind of like, they're just like, it's not funny, it's just like over the top, and it's just like all this mugging and screeching, and Bette Midler is just like wasted in it, and it's just like the only good part about it is like her musical number in the middle. And so they just, it got like ravaged. It got some good reviews too, but most of them were pretty negative. So there was that. So I didn't realize that this movie, which now seems so beloved by generations of people, was kind of like really not much of a thing when it came out. But what ended up happening over the years was that even though it didn't do that well at the theater, now when October rolled around, I'm not sure if October 93 or the following October, because Disney owned, the family channel, ABC Family or whatever it was called back then, they're like, well, we have this Halloween movie laying around, and it didn't do very well in the theater, but we have TV and we can put it on for free, so why not? And they had this thing that they would do every year called like 13 Days of Halloween, and they started putting Hocus Pocus in the rotation for their Halloween season. Like, they had a bunch of other movies too. I think they'd show Beetlejuice and some other things as well. But they started to notice that whenever Hocus Pocus was on around the Halloween season, the ratings would spike. So at that point, they're like, maybe we have some kind of sleeper hit on our hands here. So they started showing it more and more. And then when they released it on DVD and then again on Blu-ray, they noticed that during October, sales of that would go like through the roof. Like, so it would be on TV all the time. And it would be like when it came out on DVD and Blu-ray. And I think it came out on VHS first. And that was like a big hit too. So they started to notice that right around October, which is when they should have released it in the first place, might have been a whole different situation. But they started to notice right around October, sales of this would spike up. And subsequently, kids who grew up in the 90s, you know, millennials, things like that, they saw this a lot as a kid, and it would always be on around Halloween. So there came to be this kind of like real nostalgia factor associated with it. I think kind of like the same way that kids of my era, we always grew up watching, like, you know, It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, and, you know, all those kind of like Halloween specials. I was going to say The Worst Witch, but I don't know how much of a beloved cultural icon that is. I think it's mostly like forgotten. Tim Curry was in it, by the way. If you've never seen it, it's awful, but it's also kind of awesome. Isn't Diana Rigg in it? I want to say Diana Rigg is in it. I was like reading something about, I know this is a little bit off topic, but I was reading something about The Worst Witch. Somebody made a comment about it, and they basically said, and so this, I didn't make this up. I'm paraphrasing from some clever person on the internet that was commenting. They basically said The Worst Witch is like if the first Harry Potter movie was made by crazy people and also only spent $87 on it. It was like, and I'm like, accurate. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember, the special effects are just like, it's I don't know, it's just like funny. But like I said, we'd always kind of like watch the same kind of stuff around Halloween. And, you know, Hocus Pocus became that for 90s kids. And as they grew up and had their own kids, you know, they would show it to their kids. So it almost kind of became like a Halloween tradition. Like I said, so much so that the shit's like fucking saturated. And I just found out like from the Wikipedia page that literally like a week ago, like October 18th, they started production, they started shooting the sequel for this. So obviously there was demand out there. Like I said, there's a whole Disney show, it's a whole thing now, which is crazy. And it's just crazy to think that when it first came out, everybody was like, meh. You know what I mean? Like I said, I kind of fall somewhere in the middle of this. It's like, it's a really fun movie to watch for Halloween, but you really kind of have to be in the mood for it because it is very over the top and it's very campy and there is a lot of screaming and stuff like that and a lot of like kind of dumb humor. But if you're in the mood for that, then it can be just what the doctor ordered. And like I said, it is very, very Halloween-y. It has a very Halloween tone to it, and it's just like really, really fun. So if you've never seen this movie somehow, which I know some people haven't, basically you have, at the beginning, there's like a thing from back in like the 1600s in Salem, Massachusetts, obviously. And there's these three witches, the Sanderson sisters, and they are played by Bette Midler, who plays the main one. She's Winifred or Winnie. And then you got Sarah Jessica Parker. She plays the dumb one, the dumb bimbo named Sarah. And then you have Kathy Najimy playing Mary, who's kind of like, she's the one that sniffs out the kids. And she's also kind of dumb, but like the two background witches are dumb. And then like one of the main running gags is that Bette Midler is always kind of like browbeating them because they're so stupid. But, you know, so it's almost kind of like a Three Stooges. I would even get, yeah, it is very much like the Three Stooges. I mean, they never go nyuk, nyuk, nyuk or anything and like poke anybody in the eyes, but it's almost to that level. So like I said, if you're not into the Three Stooges, you might not dig this movie because it does definitely have that kind of like slapsticky kind of comedy to it. So these three witches, they basically, like I said, this, it's not as dark as some other Disney movies that came out in the 80s, but it's still kind of dark because it does start with these three witches straight up kidnapping a little 9-year-old girl named Emily and like taking her into the hut, and they feed her this potion that has like dead man's toes in it and stuff, and then they feed it to her and then they suck out her life force. So they straight up like kill a 9-year-old girl. They don't like show it, but they do show like them sucking her souls out because that makes them like younger. So then her brother, her older brother, Thackeray Binks, comes in and tries to save the little girl, but is unsuccessful. And the witches turn him into a black cat who will live forever because that's their curse. Like, not only is he cursed to live as a cat, which actually would be kind of awesome if you ask me, but he has to live forever because he has to live with the guilt of not being able to save his sister. So then the townsfolk all come with the pitchforks and whatnot, and they straight up hang the three witches. So again, child murder and witches hanging in the first 5 minutes of a Disney kids movie. But like I said, the tone of it is just kind of so silly and over the top that it almost doesn't register, like, I guess, how dark it is, because I'm just like, okay, kid's dead, whatever. We're moving on. But so then we jump ahead to present day, 300 years later, and we're still in Salem, Massachusetts. We have this angsty teen named Max, and he's just moved to Salem from LA, and he's really not happy about it, and is just constantly kvetching. And so he has an adorable younger sister, played by Thora Birch, who is actually, other than Bette Midler, I think Thora Birch is like the best part of this. She's like cute as a button. Because I kind of feel like, and I'm not shitting on the movie too much, but I kind of feel like the two main teenagers, you know, at the center of the action are, they're not bad or anything like that. They're just very bland. But I do kind of feel like the little sister has like, has like a sparkly personality, and she has like some of the funniest lines in the shit. So, you know, so I'm glad they kind of put her in there to kind of spice the shit up a little bit. It's Halloween is approaching, and he's getting made fun of at school. He's like, he's from LA, and everybody's kind of making fun of that, and he just really doesn't like this New Salem situation, and he really does not like Halloween. I don't understand that at all, because everybody likes Halloween, come on. But he's like really, really grumpy about it. And so he gets picked on by bullies, like the bullies steal his shoes for some reason, which actually was that was the thing, right? Like in the 90s, I kind of feel like people were like, oh, the gangbangers are going to shoot you and take your Nikes because the Nikes are $100 or whatever. So I kind of feel like maybe, and probably also Nike paid for product placement in this because they definitely were Nikes. There was a couple other like product placement in here too. Maybe Clark Bar, which I'll get to in a minute, but if I remember. But yeah, somebody did like specifically mention Clark Bars. I'm like, wow, man, do they still make those? Maybe they did in the 90s, I guess. I don't know if they still make them or not. I don't even remember what the fuck a Clark Bar is. What's in those? Is it caramel? I don't know. I don't remember. Anyway, in class, it's Halloween is coming up, and the teacher is telling, as she presumably does every year, she's telling the high school kids, like, the legend of the Sanderson sisters, and, you know, and how they're supposed to, like, they always want to, like, kill all the children of Salem and, like, take all their souls so they can remain young and beautiful forever and all this other stuff. And Max is, of course, like, bullshit, this is so lame, blah, blah, blah. So there's that whole thing. However, there is a girl in his class who he's kind of crushing on. And even though it's so funny, I'm sure these two actors are probably like the same age when this movie was made, but it's always kind of like, I guess because, you know, younger boys, like they don't age as quickly as girls. So the girl like looks probably like 3 or 4 years older than him, even though I'm sure he's not. So it's like, it's always a little weird when I see movies like this. It's I have to say, I call it the Karate Kid syndrome, because even though I'm pretty sure Ralph Macchio and what's her name that was in that, I don't know, I think they were closer in age than they looked, but he looked way, way younger than her, and it always like made me really uncomfortable. And because I was like, dude, it's like she didn't look old enough to be his mom, but almost. This isn't quite that egregious, but he definitely does look a few years younger than her, even though maybe he wasn't. So they're kind of crushing and they hang out, and but he kind of gets humiliated by the bullies and everything. And then you know, if life wasn't lame enough, as if he wasn't put upon enough, he also has to take his little sister out trick-or-treating because their parents are going to a Halloween party. So of course he just like gets all angsty pants about that and gets picked on by bullies again, and he just thinks like, oh my god, this is, my life is the worst, blah blah. So like I said, he's real kind of like whiny. So while he's out, they sort of straight up wander into a house belonging to, well, they don't know this, but he wanders into this house that belongs to his crush. And they're having a big party, and I guess it's like an open house type of situation. So he walks in there, and somebody says, I guess because the little sister is dressed up like a witch, and the girlfriend, what the fuck is her name? Girlfriend's name is Allison. It took me like, for some reason, it took me like forever to fucking find that. But yeah, so, and the little girl's name is Danny. I don't know if I mentioned that before. So they wander into Allison's house, and Allison is kind of like, oh yeah, I'm like really into witches too, because Danny is dressed up like a witch. She's like, matter of fact, I think she says my mom used to run the Sanderson sisters museum, and because their house is totally still there. And so Max is like, well, let's go check it out, because, you know, this party is boring and whatever. It's like Allison's parents' party, and she's just like, you know, I'm not down for it. So they go to the museum, which used to be the Sanderson's house, and there's a legend that on Halloween night, if somebody lights this black flame candle, but it has to be a virgin, though. They don't specify whether it's a boy or a girl virgin, which that's very nice, because the Monster Squad had to be a girl virgin. This one doesn't matter. It's an equal opportunity virgin candle, so whoever lights the candle will bring the witches back. So, of course, even though Allison and Danny are like, yeah, no, let's not do that, Max decides, for whatever reason, no, I'm gonna do it anyway, you guys are being chicken shit, so he lights it, and of course, the witches come back. Now, also into this mix, if you remember, Thackeray Binks, the kid whose sister got killed like 300 years ago, he got turned into a black cat, and he was also immortal, so he's still around too. So apparently how he's spent his immortality is hanging around the Sanderson house trying to keep people from coming in there and lighting the candle. However, he wasn't able to prevent idiot Max from lighting the candle, so obviously the witches come back. Now, the caveat being that the witches are only back for Halloween night, and then when it's morning, they'll turn to dust unless they suck out a bunch of children's souls. I don't know if they have to do, I guess they just have to do at least one, and that'll put like more gas in their tank, and then they can just get all the, because they are actually trying to essentially kill all the children in Salem. So like I said, it's a little dark. It's a lot of child murder, potential child murder going on in this, you know, and child peril. But as I said, because it's so over the top, it doesn't really read as all that dark. So basically the rest of the movie is them and Binks the cat, who also talks. Although he doesn't start talking until later, because you would think that if he was trying to like warn people about the sisters, like, hey, don't light that candle, because for real, the witches will come back. No, I'm serious. You'd think that he would be able to talk, but he doesn't talk prior to that. So maybe somebody had to light the candle for him to be able to talk. That's not really made clear, and maybe I'm thinking about it too much. But yeah, but he does talk, and so he like helps them out with all the lore and tells them like what to do and everything. Oh, and there's also Winnie's, you know, Bette Midler's spell book, which is magical and has a moving eye on the front of it, which is super cool. I actually really like that effect. She needs that because the kids steal it, because of course they do, and then she needs it back to make the potion that will, the soul sucking potion. Like she needs the potion, because it's been 300 years since she made it. Like, give her a break. It's been 300 years since she made it last time, and she can't remember exactly how to make it, so she needs the book. Now, the book has like a homing spell on it, but there's ways kind of around that. So basically, the rest of the movie is just the kids trying to evade the witches doing, there's like some little slapstick gags about them not knowing what a paved road is or not knowing what a bus is. But all in all, they seem to really kind of like catch on to the 20th century pretty quickly. So, you know, good on them. Also, there's some kind of funny shit where, because they can walk around freely because it's Halloween, so everybody just thinks they're in costume, right? And so they're at this one house and they leave their magical brooms outside, and these little girls who are dressed like the Sanderson sisters like straight up steal them, because I guess their parents never told them. It's like, hey, those aren't yours. But they were just kind of like, hey, cool brooms. Guess somebody just left them here for us. So they took them. And so it ends up that the actual Sanderson sisters have to like go back to the house, which had subsequently been turned into a museum. And they have to get like Winnie gets a broom, even though it's like a more modern broom. I think Sarah gets a mop. And then, of course, poor Mary has to ride on a vacuum cleaner. So they get a couple, like, gags out of that as well, of them flying around and, like I said, taking a bus and whatnot. And so there's a point in halfway through where I think, like, the kids think they lure the witches to the school, like the high school. And for whatever reason, the high school has like a kiln, I guess it's a kiln, like for the art thing, or a boiler. I don't know what it is, but it's like a room, and they put, like, you can like turn fire on. And they don't even lock the school. I guess back in the 90s, maybe they didn't. I don't know. But so they lure the witches in there, and they put them in, and they think that they burn them alive. So again, witches burning alive. That's nice in a kid's movie. But it doesn't work. Although I was not clear on why it didn't work. Like, because it seemed like it was working, because they were all in there and they were burning and they were screaming and stuff. And then like the green shit comes out of the, you know, the chimney or whatever. But then the green stuff like reverses and goes back in, and they're just like, oh, never mind, we're fine. And they like weren't even singed or anything. So but I guess because it was Halloween night, there was like a magical spell on them sort of, and like they couldn't die until dawn came or whatever. Like I said, again, I'm thinking about it too much. But so for a long time, the kids think that the witches are dead. So they still have the book, and then they think to themselves, well, maybe we should try and reverse the spell on Binks, the cat, because and turn him back into a boy, because he'd probably appreciate that. But then when they open the book up, the book has like a beacon and like it shines all over the place. So of course, like the witches see it and they go chasing after him. Also, a really happy addition to this, and I really like this this addition in the movie, is I guess like back in the old days, Bette Midler's character, Winnie, had been knocking boots with this guy named Billy Butcherson. And then he started like fooling around with Sarah, Sarah Jessica Parker's character, the hot one. And so Winnie straight up poisoned him, so he's dead. But now she can go to the cemetery and like bring him back as a zombie, essentially, because the witches can't go. They can't walk around in the cemetery because it's hallowed ground, right? So she has to kind of like get one of her minions to come up out of the grave. Although Billy doesn't really like her all that much, obviously, because she poisoned him, and she's always like bossing him around. That Billy Butcherson is played by the great Doug Jones, which I didn't realize. If you don't know Doug Jones, I mean, he was in Pan's Labyrinth. He played the Faun and he played the Pale Man. He was in Hellboy. He played Abe Sapien. Yeah, he plays that. He's played himself, like, you know, as himself, but he's usually real good because he's real tall and thin, and he's a mime and, you know, a contortionist. So he usually plays like a lot of those kind of like otherworldly creatures and stuff like that, and he's really great at it. But yeah, he plays Billy Butcherson in this. And so there's some funny shenanigans with Billy having like his mouth stitched closed and like he gets his head knocked off a couple of times. But I really, really like the design of his outfit. So he kind of helps the witches at first, but then he decides, fuck this shit, and like starts helping the kids because he's sick of like Winnie, you know, yelling at him all the time and like bossing him around, like I said. And she did poison him, to be fair. So he's not real inclined to be magnanimous toward her, I suppose. But yeah, so that's kind of how it goes. There's like a musical number in there, which is actually great, and they reproduce this a lot when they do like stage. I gotta say too that I feel like this movie has a big following in like the drag community. They've done like a lot of drag versions of this, usually like around Halloween. If you have like a drag troupe or, you know, a drag show in your town, most of them will do a Hocus Pocus parody, because that's kind of like, you know, because I know Bette Midler is like a massive like gay icon and everything, so I do kind of feel like that's where she got some of her performance for this, because you can tell, even though the witches are totally over the top and it's just so, so silly, and just like I said, it's almost like Three Stooges kind of stuff going on, but you can tell that the three of them, particularly Bette Midler, are having the fucking time of their lives. They look like they're just having a blast just playing these ridiculous like silly witch characters, and they're just like, they play off each other and they're always like knocking each other around and like yelling at each other and calling each other's names and stuff like that, and it's just like so, so funny. And I think Bette Midler even said later on that this was actually one of her favorite roles, because she just loved just the over-the-top villainy and just being able to just be so fucking, just be so campy and ridiculous, and you can just tell she's having a great time with it. I will say that had this movie not leaned full on into, particularly the witch characters, had this movie not leaned full on into campy ridiculousness, I think it would have kind of been forgotten. There's other good elements to it. Like, I really like, you know, the talking cat thing, you know, and I really like Doug Jones' character. He's not in it a lot, but, you know, that's a really good look and that's a really good character. I really like the Halloween vibe of it, but I kind of feel like the heart of this is those three witches and their interactions with one another. And like I said, if it wasn't so over the top, I don't know if this would have gotten the cult following that it got. Because this is one of those movies, and I've seen this said too, that it's not a good movie, if you want to call it, like, it's not an objectively good movie. Like, it, you know, the plot's kind of thin, and, you know, some of the main character kids are kind of bland, other than the little girl. She's awesome. But because the witches are just so, they just went all the way with it and are just like, yeah, we're just gonna chew up all the scenery and spit it out. I think that really like elevates it, because you can tell they're having a really good time. And that kind of makes you have a good time too. Even though, like I said, you have to be in the mood for it because it is very screamy. You know what I mean? I had forgotten like how screamy this movie was, how much yelling there is going on in this movie, which normally I don't like, but it was fun. You know what I mean? So, but there's also that great musical number in the middle where Bette Midler, like the witches go to the Halloween party where, you know, Max and Danny's parents are, and they kind of take over the stage because, you know, Max goes there and tries to warn everybody, hey, you know, go home and get your kids because the witches are out and they're like going to kill all the children. But of course, nobody believes him. And so then they, instead of like the witches hiding, they just be like, yeah, here we are. And they come up on the stage and start singing that I put a spell on you kind of thing. And they kind of put a spell on everybody at the party to just like dance all night. So so conveniently it puts like all the parents who are all at this party in Salem out of commission like for the run of the movie. So the kids pretty much have to like figure shit out for themselves. But yeah, so I forgot to mention too, another thing that I didn't realize when I first went to see this movie was that it was actually co-written by Mick Garris, who obviously horror fans will know. He's done a shit ton of directed a shit ton of Stephen King adaptations, particularly Sleepwalkers, among others. And he was also the guy behind the Masters of Horror series from Showtime. You know, so massive, like, horror icon. So the fact that he co-wrote this one, I think what originally ended up happening was that the original script for this, and this kind of happens a lot, I guess, the original script for this was actually much darker. It was kind of about the same thing, about like three hanged witches when they come back to the modern era and they're trying to like get all the kids to suck their souls out or whatever, but it was supposed to be much darker. And they actually first approached Amblin Entertainment, which is Steven Spielberg's thing, and Steven Spielberg, I guess he didn't really want to do it because Disney had optioned it, and he was just like, yeah, you know, Disney, I don't want to do anything with Disney, because they were kind of like rivals at the time. So I guess that's how that happened. So when Disney took the project over, they softened it. They basically said, because I think initially this was supposed to be like a kid's horror movie, you know, not horror, but it was supposed to be like a kid friendly horror movie for Halloween. But when Disney took it over and read through it, they're like, yeah, this is way too dark. So they basically just turn it into a straight up comedy. So don't go into this like thinking that it's a kid's horror movie, because it's not. It's not scary. You know, like I said, it has a zombie in it. It has child murder in it. But the tone of it is so obviously comedic that it's not. I don't think any child anywhere, unless they were really, really like delicate, would be scared by this at all. It's just, it's mostly just a fun, over the top, funny kind of, you know what I mean? It's this goofball, like, kid kind of humor. But I can definitely see why a cult kind of grew up around this. But like I said, it almost, I didn't realize until I went and like read a bunch of different reviews and stuff how kind of love it or hate it this movie is. Because I always kind of felt, like I said, I don't know if I say that I love it, but whenever Halloween comes around, I always kind of feel like, oh, you know, maybe we'll watch Hocus Pocus. It's, you know, it just kind of like puts you in the mood. But like I said, you kind of have, it's very silly, so you kind of have to be down for that. But I can see how kids that grew up in the 90s, this would be their kind of big thing, because it's very, very Halloween-y. It's, the whole thing is set on Halloween. Everyone's in costumes, and it's just, a lot of the costumes look great. Oh, I will give a shout out too to whatever that band is that's at the party that all the adults at or at the town hall. I really love that the main singer guy's outfit. It kind of looks like a voodoo type of thing. Like, it's kind of like a top hat, and he's all cobwebby, and he has like the skeleton makeup on. But it's, yeah, it's really, really cool looking. But yeah, so I mean, the witches look great. Bette Midler is great. Like I said, she seems like she's just having a fucking blast. The musical number is great. It's just like, I like all the stupid humor, like especially her like kind of making fun of the dumb sisters and like knocking them around and stuff. I don't know, it just like cracks me up. It wouldn't always, because like I said, sometimes I'd be like, yeah, this is a little too much for me right now, like all the screeching, it's like giving me a headache. But I don't know, yesterday I was just kind of like into it, because I'm like, oh, it's the day before Halloween and I'm watching it, and it was like super fun. Look at all the kids and the trick-or-treating, it was like super fun. But yeah, so this is actually, I think it's on Disney Plus, but you can get it other places too. I think I actually rented it on Google Play of all places, but I think it's on Vudu, it's on some other places as well. So let me know how, like, where you come down on the whole Hocus Pocus issue, because as I said, I didn't realize, I might have seen it in the theater when it came out, and I was just kind of like, oh, that was fun, you know, it was a fun Halloween movie, even though it's fucking July, whatever. But it's interesting how such a cult has grown up around it, and I guess I can see, like I said, I can see why, but I can understand like some people that are just kind of like, I don't get it. I don't get why so many people love this movie so much, but this, different opinions, whatever. It's but I'm really curious to know how you guys is where you guys fall on either side of it. Like I said, I'm kind of in the middle, when I'm in the mood for it around Halloween, it seems like totally fun, but I can see people like not liking it too because it's kind of one of those movies, you know what I mean? And I think I maybe would have liked it better if they'd gone like more of a horror route. You can put comedy in it, but it did the comedy does seem like a little young, aimed toward like a younger demographic. So I would have been interested to see what they would have done with it if they'd made it like scarier. But I probably will see that because like I said, they're making a sequel to it and they just started shooting it like a week ago, literally, as I'm recording this. So I'll be interested to see how that comes out. I'm pretty sure that like they're getting most of the cast back, I thought. I mean, they all seemed like they were pretty interested in doing it, especially since this huge cult has grown up around the movie in the years since it's come out. But yeah, let me know what you think about it in the comments, and have a happy Halloween, everybody. This will conclude my Eek Week. I'll try to do it again next year. I might do a whole month next year, although, man, doing the week this year was kind of like kicked my ass. But I get that was because we were moving and there was a bunch of other shit going on too. And I had a bunch of other projects going, so I didn't have as much time. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes next year. Maybe I can expand it because I actually have had fun doing these. But yeah, so that'll do it for my Halloween Eek Week movie review of Hocus Pocus. And I will see you guys next time. Bye.